Today we have Janae Swan. Janae was born in California and is a breast cancer survivor. Grandma, wife to Scott Swan, our Locos new anchor. Janae worked as the director of corporate partnership for the Pacers for over a decade before leaving to oversee the pastor's wives and Lamplighter Ministries. She has three children who all have children now, making her a busy grandma. She attends iTown Church and enjoys time with her best three girlfriends and running her ministries. Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you so much, Janae. Welcome to Karina Faith Diaries.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. Guess what we're going to talk about today, guys?
Ah,
look at us.
Our favorite color.
We're in pink right now, and we're going to be discussing some of Janae's journey with breast cancer. But before we get to it, I just want for you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who is Janae Swan.
Sure. I was born and raised in Southern California. Newport Beach, which is about an hour south of LA, and got married to my high school sweetheart. And we've kind of moved around a lot, moved to Palm Springs. We lived in Hawaii for a while, Utah, and we've been here in Indy over 21 years.
Wow. Yeah. So why Indy?
Well, exactly. No, he was a sportscaster and he wanted to transition to news. So we thought, why don't we send his tapes back then, you literally sent tapes to places where our family lived. My older sister had married a man and moved to Indy, and we put a tape into San Diego and then up in Seattle where my sister-in-law lives. And Indy was the one who called. And so we've loved living here. My little sister has since moved here. My parents have a second home here. So our whole family is here now.
Oh, that's
amazing. So I say California born, but Hoosier by choice.
Yes, I feel the same way. I'm from Brazil and people are like, why Indianapolis out of all places, right? Like the United States so big. And I think we actually have been here for the same amount of time. I moved here 2002.
Yeah.
So yeah, almost like 22 years now, I think. Yeah.
I will say in March when it's snowing or April, I always say to my husband, why did we move from Southern California? And he's like, Janae, you say that every year.
No, but I agree with you. I love Indy. Our city's so beautiful. We were just talking off camera here about how we love downtown and everything. But the winters are very gloomy, very difficult.
Yeah. Yes. My sister got us here by saying, well, I've only shoveled snow once my whole time I've been here. Well, we moved here and then realized her husband shoveled the snow the rest of the time. So she kind of sold us a bill of goods, but we love it here. And funny story, when we first moved here, it snowed and we never had a snow shovel. And so we used that little fireplace shovel that comes that you do for like, you know, when you put logs in, you get the ashes out. Yeah. So we literally used that tool and just did two little lines so we could pull our car out in the snow. And our neighbor came running up to us. You're an embarrassment to the neighborhood. You can't do that. You either get a snowblower or a shovel. And so we've never forgotten that. And he was nice enough to shovel our driveway. So we got a snowblower after that.
That's nice. I don't think we've ever owned a snowblower. Is that bad? Our neighbors are probably thinking like, oh, you are a disgrace. But oh, well, we've survived in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was embarrassing, but that's all we had to get the car out.
I know, it's hard. It's hard because Indy doesn't have like a steady winter. It's like so hit or miss. But anyway, so tell me a little bit about your faith. Did you grow up in a Christian family or how did that come about?
I did not. My father passed away when I was 9. So my mom had a 2, a 9, and 11-year-old girls in California. We didn't have any family in California, and a distant relative called us and said, we want to sponsor you and take you to a camp called Forest Home. And so we all went to that camp. And I still remember this being 9, that when I sat there and listened to the speaker talking about, would you like to have a heavenly father? It just kind of hit me like, I do. I don't have an earthly father anymore. Mm-hmm. I need something to fill that hole in my heart. And so I accepted the Lord right there. And that And I later told that distant relative, he passed away actually this past summer, but about a year ago, I called him and I said, because you were so faithful and inviting a widow and her three kids to this camp, we now have generations of Christians in our family. And I said, now I think about it, I know someday, when he got up to heaven, people were probably like, I'm here because of you. Yeah. So I try to encourage people, if you've ever had somebody speak, that into your life, you should tell them, because sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's how, ironically, one of my best girlfriends, she named her daughter after me, little Janae, because she said I brought her to the Lord. Oh. And so actually next week, we're going out, all my little friends that we grew up on the same street, 50 years later, we're going to go out and celebrate our 60th birthdays. So she's going to be one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
People aren't usually that bold by naming their kids after somebody, yes, but I wanted him to know just how incredible that was.
Yeah.
And by reaching out.
Yeah. Life-changing, really.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something too for people who are out there. And, in your case, your dad passed away, but so many people have not a good father figure in their lives, whether it's abuse or a way that fathers hurt you. There is a Father in heaven who loves us unconditionally the way that we are with our brokenness. And we just need to know that we can come to him. So I love that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, it's all because one relative decided to,
All it takes is that invitation. It really does. It's to me too. Like, it was a friend who invited me to go to iTown and I grew up as a Catholic in Brazil, so the majority, and I really didn't have a relationship with God or Jesus very much at all. And going to a church where it's so filled with the Spirit, it was transformational for me too. So
it's just always encouraged me to really point people to Jesus. Like, my goal is to populate heaven,
yes,
go out and populate heaven. And I think of that relative and how, he's populating heaven by just reaching out to us in our time of need.
Yes, that is true. And it is our jobs as Christians. I actually have this on my phone here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's his commandment to us. Yeah. So this is what we're doing here. This was a calling to. How did you meet Scott, and what is his faith looks like, and what is your marriage look like?
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. Matter of fact, we started dating after my sister broke up with him.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I love it. I love it.
So, I'm still feeling bad. I called my current boyfriend. I said, we should date other people. And then 2 hours later, he came and picked me up for our first date. So it was meant to be. Yes. It was meant to be. And so we went to a church in Southern California. We were very involved in the high school group and really spent a lot of time with friends who were going to church and that group, which, is so important. As our pastor always says, the friends that you hang out with, that's going to be your future.
Absolutely.
And his parents were wonderful, wonderful Christians. Scotty became a Christian at 12, but his parents were just one of the things that he always remembers and still remembers. They have since passed, that whenever there's an issue, his dad would always say, it's not what I think. Let's see what the Bible thinks. Oh. And I love that. He would always pull out the Bible and, go to a passage, and that's how he would speak into him. And so when we got married, that was just so important for us, because I feel like, it's like a triangle. As a husband and wife get closer to the Lord, they end up getting closer to each other. Mm. And that, I know it's very hard to keep, it's God first, our spouse, and then our family and kids. Yes. And, sometimes it's hard when you have little kids, but we really try to work on that in our marriage and keep that. And we pray together all the time. Yeah. We walk every morning and we've got these prayer walks, and just to just notice God's beauty. We were in Lake Louise a couple weeks ago for my niece's wedding, mm-hmm, and it is the most beautiful place in Canada. And we just walked and we stopped, and we call it a sacred moment. We looked out there and I look at all this beauty that he created. I'm like, in just this one spot, it's just one little area. And I'm just in such awe, and I need to remember to be still and to soak in those sacred moments when the Lord comes down and just like, some call it a God wink or a whisper, but yeah. So I love that. We try to point those out to each other, like, hey, I had this one, I had this one. So it's been very important in our family and for the two of us to raise our kids that way. And, you know, he had great role models and
That's important too.
Yeah.
I love how similar, I mean, I got teared eye because Brian and I just recently started our prayer walks too. And it's just, we are so similar. I know a little bit about your story and it's like, oh my gosh, the similarities are, we got the tissues here, people. We might need them. Me too. It's going to be one of those, but, yes. And I think it comes with maturity too, of like not just in, you know, life and age, but coming to the Lord, being mature in the Lord and, you know, just enjoying those little moments too of those, you know, peaceful times. And it's so important too, because marriage is work, you know, it's like we love each other, but it takes so much work. And nowadays, I think people are so quick to be like, this is not working for me. I'm done. You know, and it takes work. It takes you giving your 100% to, you know, to work. And I remember telling Brian, because he wanted to walk with me, and I'm like, this is my moment with the Lord. I want to do my prayers, because I do sometimes like say it out loud and I don't want him to be around. And he's like, honey, you don't have to talk to me. I just want to be there with you. And I'm like, you know, that's true. Like, and so he gets up from bed when I'm like trying to get ready. And so you know, I'm now accepting of this and I really enjoy and look forward to our little daily walks. But
well, and we're not guaranteed. I mean, the Bible says we will face trials, especially, you know, sickness and family issues. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean that, you know, nothing's going to happen. But if you have your faith, when things blow up or things, you get a bad diagnosis, that's when, you know, we have to praise him in the good and praise him in the bad. And we don't always necessarily praise him when things are bad. And it's important.
I feel like the difference for Christians when we are facing trials is that we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what people don't get. It's like, well, if you're Christian and if God loves you, why are you going through this? Because we've had our fair share of craziness, but I've always, even in moments of desperation, I've always knew that God was there and I've always knew that he was taking care of me no matter what. So I think that that's the difference, right? It's like, you know, that there's someone who has your back and you have that peace knowing that. So you don't get, you know, desperate. So let's shift this things a little bit to your career. So then you guys moved here. Scott went into news or journalism.
Yeah, we both went to Pepperdine University and in Malibu out in California. We both had broadcast degrees.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so he started in news and we worked at TV stations together in Palm Springs when we first got married. Okay. Then we moved over to Hawaii and I worked at a competitor's TV station. And then we moved back home and had our family in Southern California. And then I started working with Paramount Movie Studios.
Wow.
So I worked on movies and shows like Cheers, Dear John, a couple of those shows.
Wow.
So I would drive literally like an hour. It's from Newport. It's almost 2 hours. And back then, you know, you didn't have cell phones and not a lot of radio. So I bought this tiny little TV. And I plugged it into the cigarette lighter and I turned it so I wouldn't look at it when I was driving. Uh-huh. But back then, that was when I'd get off the shows, like we'd be done taping Cheers at like midnight. And so I'd have to drive almost 2 hours. So I would turn that and I would listen to Johnny Carson and some of those shows on my way home to kind of pass the time.
Yeah.
And then we, moved to Utah and then here. And I had a wonderful friend reach out and say, hey, I think I've got a great job for you. And I was like, I wasn't really looking. You know, my kids were 16 and 15 and 15. And I'm like, okay, maybe the Lord is nudging her to nudge me.
Yeah.
And went in and started working for the Indiana Pacers. Okay. Loved my job in corporate partnerships. We did, if a sponsor came on board like Kroger or Pepsi, we would do all the activation, like player appearances and signs and
You
know, radio. And then I also had the privilege of planning all the corporate trips when we would go over to Manila or London or China. And so I love travel. And so that really spoke to me. Yeah. So it was a fabulous job for 10 years, you know, being here and just seeing I miss coming downtown every year. But after a little over a decade, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was nudging me like, Janae, you don't have time to do anything in ministry. Mm-hmm. It was just, a busy job between game Pacers and Fever. It was a busy job. And I really felt like I had a nudging, like, okay, it's time to retire and put some time into ministry. Mm. Well, nobody understood that. Like, why would you quit this amazing job? And I get that. I did have an amazing job. I worked with wonderful people over there. Mm-hmm. But I just really felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit was nudging me.
Yeah.
So I had a girlfriend from Newport say, hey, I want to come to Indy for spring break. It's like, what? You know where I live, right? She's like, yeah, I want to come. I said, okay, come. And it was there. I still remember we were walking on Geist on the bridge. And she's like, you know that I do this ministry, Pastor's Wives. The gal that had been doing it for a long time can no longer do it. If you decide to retire, I'd love for you to come alongside me and be my coworker.
Yes.
And so that was kind of the final nudging. That's like, okay,
your
Lord,
sign.
That's my sign. Mm-hmm. And so I put my resignation in and, you know, worked through the summer. And so we've been doing, this is my 7th year that we've been doing the Pastor's Wives. And it's through an organization called Newham, which is in Northern California. It's Network of Evangelical Women in the Ministry, so newham.org. Mm-hmm. And we fly, people nominate lead pastors' wives to us or to the website, and we pray over it, and we bring pastors' wives from all over the U.S. We fly them in, we pay for everything. We've got an amazing person who donates a house for us right on the beach, and we just love on them. We just love on them. We've had so many people like, I told my husband, I don't know where I'm going. These two ladies have called me, but I'm going. And then they're calling, I am watercoloring at the beach. I took a 4-hour nap.
Oh,
and so we're just trying to fill them up and refresh them and just have these, you know, 4 to 6 pastors' wives really get to know each other. It's a safe place. Mm-hmm. We have a lovely Christian woman come in and give them a massage and pray over them. And it's just Pam and I, we cook and clean, mm-hmm. and we don't have a bunch of people. It's not like a conference. Pastors' wives go to enough conferences.
Yeah.
It's just really us trying to refresh them, fill up their cup. And so we do it twice a year, and it's just a wonderful experience just to wait on these women who really need it.
I was going to say, I never actually thought about how much did they go through, right? Of like, so how did this start? Like, was it through, how did she see the need?
It was my girlfriend who just felt a need. She's not a wife of a pastor, but she would meet a lot of pastors' wives and just see that they needed just a couple days just to unwind.
Yeah.
And they feel safe where they could maybe talk about what was going on in their church, mm-hmm. and not have to worry about, oh, the church is right next door to the, so
or
we make
sure, something.
Yeah. So we make sure that, you know, their churches are spread out across the U.S. And, so it's just lovely just to sit there, and we're like, you can never lift a dish, get up from the table. And the first meal, they're like, what? We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do that.
Wow.
I mean, women just can't do that. They just.
Yeah, I know we are so multitasker and doers.
We want to, you know, unload the dishwasher. And it's like, nope, step away and go have fun. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
How about the Lamplighter? How did that come?
Yeah. Lamplighter is an organization locally. It's part of, if you've ever heard of the Great Banquet or Walk to Emmaus or Tres Dias, it's a weekend designed on a series of talks. We have a men's weekend and a ladies' weekend, but those other movements, if you want to call them, were Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people can't take off a Friday.
Sure.
So we start on Friday night and end on Sunday night. And we have, we've got a conference center up in Fortville that we have the conferences. And it's just, I'd like to say, it's just like experiencing God's love for 48 hours. It's just like a giant hug. It doesn't matter if you know, if you have faith, if you're a wife of a pastor, if you're a longtime Christian, it's just a wonderful weekend to get away. And, you know, I think as a Christian, a lot of times it's like, I've been to so many conferences. Yeah. I don't need another conference. And this is not that. And it's just, so my husband was at number 1 and I was at number 4. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be at 74. That's how many weekends we've had.
Oh my gosh. So does it happen every weekend or is it just certain days?
No, it happens twice a year. We have fall weekends and then we have spring weekends.
Oh, wow.
So it's lamplighterindy.org. You can go on there and see when the spring weekends we'll be posting those soon.
Okay.
But it's a wonderful, going through it, I was just so touched by everything. But being on team, which mm-hmm. I'm on team again this for the next one, that's even better. It's even better.
Really?
Just seeing these ladies and just loving on them. And
so do they have like worship?
We have worship. There's some surprises. I didn't like it because my husband wouldn't tell me everything. I'm like, we have no secrets. He's like, Janae, settle down. Just it'll unfold. Trust me.
Okay.
And so it does. It's a way that, you know, you put your phones away and trust that we've got wonderful women who talk and wonderful women who share their testimony and great worship and great food. And so it's near and dear to our heart.
Yeah. I love that. We'll be able to get all of the websites so people can check it out and everything. Because I'd like to attend one.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yes. So we have this wonderful life. You're walking with Jesus. You guys are faithful and all of this. Have you ever had any trials before the event that we're going to talk about, which is the breast cancer?
Yes. I mean, obviously the death of my dad, but in 2017, my husband almost died. I was on a business trip in out of the country with the Pacers, and he had had a stomach ache for a couple weeks. And then he texts me and he's like, it's really getting bad. And of course, finally, I'm like, I'm at a new resort. It had spotty Wi-Fi. I just text in all caps. Go to the doctor now.
Yeah.
So, you know, like a good husband, he finally followed my advice, but he drove himself there. So he just got off the newscast, drove himself to an ER closest to our house because he thought he could get in earlier. And I called my sister. I'm like, he just didn't look right. He sent a picture. He's very into like charging his phone. Mm-hmm. So he sent a picture like my phone's charged in. I'm in the ER and I'm like, yeah. So I called my little sister. I said, can you go over to the hospital? And she's like, when I got there, they had him like with his head face down and he was like gray. His blood pressure was 50 over 30. So they were trying to get him to a bigger hospital and it was hailing, so they couldn't lifeline him. And meanwhile, I'm trying to get updates and then I'm in a very spotty place in Mexico, couldn't get updates. And they put him in the back of an ambulance. My brother-in-law works for the Fishers Fire Department, got him in the back of an ambulance. Quickly drove him to St. V's. And he said he just had this peace about him. He couldn't talk. He couldn't see. He just had this peace, you know, that the Holy Spirit was there. Mm-hmm. And when they got in to the ER and surgery, they found that he had an internal bleeding. He was bleeding internally. He had lost over half of his blood. And so fast forward, he has a very rare autoimmune disease that attacks your medium-sized arteries as if they're foreign objects. Mm-hmm. Never had any symptoms, And so finally, I'm trying to get home because I'm in a resort area that doesn't have, they only fly, you know, late afternoon. So finally, the Pacers were very generous, got me back home. He had been in ICU for 2 days. And so the Lord totally saved him in the back of that ambulance.
Oh my gosh.
So we had been through that. And, you know, years later with scans, there's no sign of the disease. Totally gone.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Totally
gone.
Wow. So that was a big trial until January 20th, 2021. We were watching the inauguration. And my husband got a phone call, left the room, and I stayed in the room and talked. And we both were on the phone. He hung up and he looked at me. He's like, well, that was my doctor. I have skin cancer and I need to have it removed. Well, of course, that hit me because that's how my dad died at 35 of skin cancer.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
So I was just like, ugh. And he's like, who were you on the phone with? I said, well, that was my doctor and I have breast cancer. So it wasn't a stellar day. So we sat and cried and prayed and we're like, okay, we're going to have to call our kids and tell them that both their parents have cancer.
On the same day. This is just so.
Yeah. So we did. So we called them and told them and, you know, they cried. Our son's out in Denver. Our girls are locally here. And luckily a couple of weeks later, my husband had surgery and he's cancer free, but you know, that really gutted me. I'm like, ugh. So that was the start of my journey of, breast cancer.
How did you feel right there and then with that diagnosis? What was your first thought?
I guess I just thought I wanted to do more research. It was invasive ductal carcinoma. Mm-hmm. And I thought I didn't feel sick. Uh-huh. I didn't have a lump that I was tracking. Every January, I have an annual mammogram. Okay. And the year prior, they didn't see anything. And so I was a little surprised, like, I'm really good about keeping up with my health. And uh-huh. now this is in the midst of COVID. I mean, we yes. are like full-blown COVID. And I'm glad I went and had my mammogram. And so it's like, as you know, drinking out of a fire hose. It happens so fast. All the doctor's appointments, all the follow-ups, all the decisions that have to be made. Yeah. And I think it was like 32 days from when I was diagnosed to when I went in and had a lumpectomy.
Okay.
And then they had a reduction and reconstruction on my other side because the mass was so big. They just said where it was, you're going to be lopsided.
Oh, so it was one mass?
Yes, one.
Okay.
So during this time, my husband's like, well, why don't I'm going to be at all your appointments. Why don't I just videotape things so you can remember? Because you can't always remember things. So no. he started and he named it Janae's Journey. Wow. So he started Janae's Journey and would do, and the doctors were wonderful, kind of explaining things. And I thought, okay. So I had surgery, recovery, and then I went and they found out that it had spread. So that bumped me up to stage two.
Okay.
And so that would make me have more than, well, it was going to be four. Now it's 6 weeks of everyday radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember pulling up to the cancer center and I just saw that word. And I'd already had surgery and recovery, mm-hmm. but that word, I just started bawling.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk in and I was like, I am not going to sit by anybody. Like, we're going to sit in the corner. I'm not going to talk to anybody because it can be depressing. I mean,
people
on that floor are not healthy.
No.
They're slumped over their hats and their wigs. And it's like, so I did my run through, we got back in the car and I just bawled. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I should be there. Like, yeah. I was 20 years younger than anybody in that room. So we started to drive home and we always listen to Christian music in the car. That's all mm-hmm. we listen to. And there's a song called, it's Hillsong, Another in the Fire.
Oh, I love
that. I've heard that song a million times. We've seen Hillsong several times.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this lyric jumped out at me and it says, I'll count joy for every battle because I know that's where you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought to myself, joy. Okay, I don't feel very joyful right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home that night and I prayed and I woke up that morning and I felt like the Lord said, Janae, go get your big girl panties on and get back to that cancer center. You need to share your faith. You need to talk to people. You need to hear their stories. Move. And here are your purposes. You need to share your faith, beat cancer, and promote mammograms. He really laid that on my heart.
Wow.
So we went to the cancer center and every day for 6 weeks and I sat and shared my faith. I talked with people and realized I was so fortunate that my husband was there every day with
mm-hmm.
me. There were people who had to go to work.
Yeah.
There were people who didn't have anybody there with them. And I just felt so fortunate
yeah.
that once I got a little kick in the rear that it wasn't about me, go out there. And I looked at joy a different way because sometimes mm-hmm. you have joyful
yes.
things. Like my daughter gave birth 2 weeks after I had my surgery at the same hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I was so worried that she was going to be in there at the same time. I didn't want to tarnish her wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord worked at, actually it was a little more than a week, worked that I got out and she then went in and had the baby.
Oh.
So I really like, thank you, Lord, for it was really heavy on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like sometimes you need to choose joy, like in a cancer
yes.
battle. Sometimes they give you joy, like when, for, you know, the birth of our first granddaughter. And I saw the word joy differently. I saw it as Jesus, others, and then yourself. And when I started looking at that way, like stop looking at yourself, Janae, and, you know, start praying, which I did when I was on that in that radiation table. My mother-in-law, when she passed away, we opened up her Bible and she had Jesus A to Z. She was a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So she like A, all the attributes of Jesus, B. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to lay on this table every day and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to lay here because, you know, you can't move.
Yeah.
You can't talk. And I'm going to sit and go through the attributes of Jesus A to Z. And when I did that and it was time to go, I thought, you know, our God is so big, mm-hmm. and our problems, our health problems are so small.
Yeah.
And it just gave me a better attitude, not to focus on myself. Now, granted, we still have to do what the doctors want us to do and make smart decisions. But I really felt like that's what he laid on my heart. Joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. And, you know, your time to choose joy.
Yes.
And times that are joyful.
Yes. I love that. When I got my diagnosis, I was peaceful. I didn't really have to, but I know a lot of women. I have my journey out there on YouTube too. So I get a lot of women who reach out and say, how can you stay so positive? And I cannot explain. It really is God. It's the Holy Spirit. But this is a great way for people who are not finding that joy naturally, you know, to like seek out. And, you know, there's a purpose. Yeah. There is a purpose for all that we go through in life, yes. that we can relate to other people. You know, mine, I found mine in the shower, my lumps. And for you, it was the mammograms. I was actually younger than 40 when I had mine. You know, there's so many ways that we're going to find this, and how important it is to go and have your mammograms done, because that's how we found out in a random, like you weren't even expecting that, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was, I knew that there was something in there and I had to see, but.
Well, and I found during that time, during Janae's journey, my husband had interviewed some people, and because it was COVID, they weren't going. They were not going to get their mammograms. Mm-hmm. And so I started telling people, go get your mammograms and I'll pray for you. So I have a prayer calendar that I open every morning, and I have ladies who I don't know, I pray, and some I do, pray for them about, you know, their mammogram for the day. And when I started focusing on others and praying for them, you know, it wasn't about me. And so that's what hopefully gave them peace, knowing. And so here, almost 3.5 years later, that's how I start my day. I just, you know, have a 2024. So I love praying for ladies, and Janae's journey actually won an Emmy. And I say that only because that's an Emmy, but that it was announced ironically on my birthday. The Emmys were the night of my birthday, but that people outside of Indiana saw it. That was what made me so excited, that the Emmy community, other people saw the story about going and getting your mammograms, because there were just so many ladies who have, like, I've never had one for 18 years.
Wow.
18 years. I don't want to get one. I don't think I need one. It doesn't run in my family. It didn't run in my family.
Yes, it doesn't either. Oh,
and even when I did a self-examination, when I saw where, when I knew where it was so deep, I still couldn't feel it. So it's just so important to do both.
Yeah.
And to go out there. But a lot of women just don't want to go get it.
Yeah.
So they've recently changed the guidelines for women getting their mammograms. I think it's now at 40. It used to be 50. I've met so many ladies who are pregnant in their 20s, 30s.
Younger. I know.
Younger,
it's crazy right
younger.
Now.
It makes me very, it just breaks my heart.
It's like it's something in the water to me, right? Because I was also very, you know, pretty healthy in my eyes. I mean, I'm not the healthiest, but, you know, I was active. I was not, you know, so I didn't feel like I was a candidate for this. Yeah. And it was so, it doesn't run in my family. I did not have the genes. You know, we have, our diagnosis was the same. Very strange the way that it came about. So it is important for people to go out there and do it. I wonder if it's like the lack of access for some women. Do you think everybody has access to mammograms? Do you know?
I think people probably have access. They probably just don't have the money to pay for them.
Yeah.
And that's what's wonderful about like Komen in Indy. That's what they, you know, that's where they put their money to
give access to everybody. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. And just to the education that it is so important, like annual.
Yes.
And not like, well, it wasn't
once
in my family.
While. Yeah.
No, it's every year, go get it. Cause that made a huge difference every year. Mm-hmm. And I think about, had I not gone there and what would have happened, I would have never have seen and experienced the birth of these 7 grandkids that I've had since having the surgery.
I mean, you would have had it and not even known that you, I did watch one of your interviews that he said that it could have been something that was slowly growing for a while there.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. The oncologist said 7 to 8 years, which.
Wow.
Very crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Which
I'm
kind of
so
like.
Glad that, I know.
I don't, you know, I'd like to know that.
You don't want
to
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a healthy person, but doesn't just hit the unhealthy people.
No, it doesn't. One thing that you said that stood out to me too is the prayer, how we pray for other women. I do believe that when we pray for others, I mean, obviously it takes the attention away from our own problems. It makes our own problems so small yeah. because you hear what others are going through. Yeah. You were fortunate enough to have a great husband who was with you. Like you said, you felt so blessed yeah. even in the midst of all of that. And some people don't have that. Yeah. So praying for others, it makes you realize that. I remember through my journey too, I documented on my Instagram, which is kind of old news now because mine was in 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of buried deep in the, you know, social media depths. Mm-hmm. But I remember, and to this day I do this, I haven't done it in a while, and you kind of inspire me to do it again. I would open up prayer boxes there too and like have people, hey, I'm going to be praying this morning. Let me know if I can pray for you. And boy, some of the stories that you hear, but then, I mean, first of all, them trusting you with their personal story, trusting that you're not going to go and blast that out, you know, for views or whatever. So I don't take that lightly. And also, the act of praying for others, I think that God just comes through in such an incredible way for us, you know, of like, if you're taking the time to do this, and I'm going to tell you, because this last 21 days of prayer, we do a praying and fasting season in January at our church. And I had my daughter, I went through a really crazy story with my daughter and having addiction problems. And we were in it. She was in and out of rehab centers. It was crazy, crazy journey. Heather was a part of it. Like, she knew a little bit about what was happening. And she came home and she found Jesus and everything. My life was like,
wow,
you know, amazing. So I came into this and I'm like, what am I going to pray and fast about this season? And I was like, you know what? There's so many people that need in my life that I know that are struggling with different things. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to write it down. And every day I'm going to pray about somebody else. And he brought this podcast out of those 21 days of prayer because I had this in my heart, you know, but I'm like, how am I ever going to be a podcaster? I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know where
to
start.
Looks like you know what you're doing.
Well, apparently, like, I got the good people in there. No, it's so amazing. And he, you know, it was a dream that was just deep in my heart, but it wasn't really, I never saw it coming through. It was like, oh, maybe one day. And he just put every single piece of it together because I was taking the time to pray for others. So I love that we share this too. You know, it's
well, I put your so test beautiful. Into your testimony, the yes. testing with your daughter and coming out of that and
oh.
sharing with others.
Yes, absolutely. The cancer is like yeah. nothing,
yeah.
nothing compared to going through a child who's struggling and you don't know what to do to help them. But anyway, yeah, that was God so good.
Well, he is good. A couple of years ago, I read this book, Too Busy Not to Pray, and I've followed this. It's really changed my husband and I's prayer life. It's called Acts plus L. So A, adoration. So my old prayer would be like, okay, here's Janae's laundry list. I need this, this, this. I want this. I want this. And it's really changed my focus because adoring him, like the A to Z, giving him all the qualities, mm-hmm. and then C, confession, which he knows what we've done, but he wants us to confess it to him.
Yes.
And this is like the longest part of this prayer, especially when I confess it daily. I'm like, oh, Janae, you didn't learn. You just confessed that yesterday. Get yeah. it together. And so adoration, confession, then Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is, you know, thanking him for my wonderful marriage of over 38 years, mm-hmm. and that he saved my husband during that near fatal death, and that he saved me so I can enjoy these grandkids. So really thanking. And then S is supplication, and that is my prayer list. Mm-hmm. Then after I've adored him, confessed, thanksgiving, and then supplication. And that's where, like, these are the things, and here are the ladies on in my prayer calendar.
Yeah.
And then L is the hardest one. It's really listening.
Oh,
and that's the tough one because it's very hard just to be still and to listen.
Very hard.
And to see what the Holy Spirit wants, you know, is nudging. I know people say it lives inside of me. Mine is got a finger in my back.
Yeah.
That's just like, all right, ow. So that's how he gets my attention. And trust me, he has to get my attention a lot. But that has really changed how I pray.
Yeah.
And it's not just Janae's word salad of all my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's way at the bottom.
No, I also think that our church, you know, our pastor does such a great job on like doing the prayer, because I've learned to pray like that too. I'm going to get the book because I want to kind of go through it. But I've learned that to in our 21 days, they have some praying materials there that I'm sure he's got it from that or somewhere similar, because it does change your perspective, and God wants to be adored. That's one of the commandments. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be, and for us to come to him with our supplications, we have to, I don't know, we don't have to, but I think it makes a whole difference to establish like you are the Almighty. You can do all things. You do not need me. However, you choose to use me, right, for things. So just, it helps us to humble ourselves too, right?
Well, and I feel like the way I've learned to pray, I call him in the morning and I leave the phone. I don't hang up. And like during the day, I pick up the phone and talk to him and praise him, adore him. Or sometimes, you know,
it's the constant.
And I, you know, he wants to hear our voices every day.
Yes.
I think, you know, as mothers, we want to hear our kids' voices every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that when my kids call me on the phone, not just a text, but like, I love hearing their voices.
Me too.
And then now my grandkids, several of them, you know, they call me Nene. And they, you know, when I hear their voice call me, I'm like, I love that. And it's like, he wants to hear our voice every day. He made us. And we need
are
to remember.
Yeah,
we need to remember that.
Yes.
And it's just a good reminder daily.
Yes. I had friends in the past asking me too of like, how do you pray? Like, do you actually get on your knees? And sometimes I will get on my knees. So it's not, but I'm like, no, prayer can happen all the time. Yeah. Every day, at all times. So Hope was here yesterday and she was talking about this too, how it's constant. Like today, I like to come in the office, and when it's sunny outside, I always am so happy because the sun brings me such joy. I'm like, God, thank you so much. We have a sunny day. And then sometimes I'll have like a little chat with him, you know, and if I see, I have a little picture of Jesus. And
I saw that.
Yes,
when I
a friend
I
of mine
that.
Gave me that. And so sometimes she's like, you know, it's so cool to actually look at him and talk to him, like you have a little picture. And so sometimes I'll go and sip my coffee and look at him, like, you know, and do a little chat. But yes, it's the constant thing, the constant checking in. Or when I mess up, which I do very often, I'll just go like you said, you know, like
the C part.
Here I am again. Yes,
I am.
Like
I learned.
Should have learned. Yes. And he's so patient with us.
He is. I mean, unconditionally.
Yes.
The things I do and say, I mean, trust me, my family, kids, that I was born without a filter.
Uh-huh.
Like God was making me, then got a phone call, and then I went on. And I mean, he designed me this way, so he must have, but not having a filter is tough. And I really have to watch what I say. Because I just tend to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my poor kids and now my, you know, their spouses are just like, well, that's Janae. It's like, I ask for a lot of forgiveness on stuff that I say. I just kind of, it's not always a good thing, but that's how he made me. I just ask for forgiveness.
I know. And then just coming to him and being humble enough to recognize when we messed up, I think it's wonderful. It just comes with being mature too. And so let's backtrack a little bit. Yes, both of us have had a positive outlook into our very tough diagnosis. We have similar diagnoses, but, you know, different paths. What would you say, or what advice would you give for women who are going through the journey and are struggling a lot or have little children? I actually have a friend who has littles, and my heart's breaks for her because I know she's very nervous. And things are progressing and not looking the best. What would you say to them? Or are there any words of wisdom that you'd like to share?
I'd probably say, don't do it alone. I mean, I think it's very easy to, when you don't feel good and you're going through the process and the outcome isn't always great, but to go out and to reach out to maybe somebody like you or myself who has already been through it, and just to have, it's okay to have those feelings. And because especially as a young mom, that's got to be horrible, horrible. And so I would say, you know, and also cut yourself some slack. You know, if you're going through something like this, your kids don't have to be perfect. Your house doesn't have to be, I mean, you got to take care of yourself and your family. And it just breaks my heart when I met some ladies at that cancer center that were just doing it alone. There's resources out there, even if you don't have, you know,
family members. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes people just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So they say nothing. Mm-hmm. I remember when my father passed away, people like scattered because they didn't know what to say to us.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's better to say something that may be awkward mm-hmm. than just ignore it. I would think some of the best ways to support somebody is to come alongside them. And I found that a lot of people say, call me if you want something. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I never called somebody and said, you know, I want this or I want that.
No.
I will say that I have a girlfriend who said, Janae, you're blocking someone's blessing by saying no, I've got it covered. Mm-hmm. And that was like, wow, that was really resonated with me. And one of the things that I've found and through this, like iTown, when my husband was in the ICU, they didn't call and say, Janae, you know, call me if you need anything. Mm-hmm. They literally dropped off a basket of snacks about as big as that chair mm-hmm. in the ICU where my kids were sleeping. And so they were able to walk around and kind of minister to people, other families that were sitting there. Mm. So one of the things I would say is to encourage people who maybe has somebody going, whether it's breast cancer or some kind of sickness.
Yeah.
Don't say, call me if you need anything. Just do it. Just drop something off at their front door. Drop a basket of snacks. Go by the hospital, put it at the nurse's station and leave. That makes such a difference. And I've totally changed my mindset since that, because I always was the person saying, call me if you need anything. Mm. Call me if you need anything.
I'm here for you.
Yeah. No one's going to do it. That is, and as so women, true. I think that's very, I know I'm prideful mm-hmm. and it's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I can do it. But when my girlfriend said, you are blocking someone's blessing, I was like,
I love that.
Wow. And I think that's about that. Deep. And I've told people before when they were like, I don't need help. And I'm like, you're blocking my blessing.
Oh, I love it. You can use that too.
And they're like, ooh, I'm like, I didn't make that up, but I'm going to use it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. So for me, I feel like because right now what I'm fighting, like stage 4. So I had my 5-year journey over for breast cancer and it stretched my bones. So this is where I am right now with my story, but I also have a lot of peace in it. And I think that, and I know this is going to sound maybe hard for some people to hear, but what I would say is that trust the Lord, because his plans are better than ours. And if he's making me walk again on this journey, there's something else there that needs to be done. And I also think that as Christians, I know that this may sound a little morbid for some people, but I know where I'm going. Yeah. So I don't fear that. You know what I mean? I'm like, I obviously would I want to be here. I want to see my kids getting married. I want to see grandchildren, you know, I want to experience life and see my family growing. And, you know, I'm not ready to leave, but he's knows when my time is up. He knows when all of our times are up. So I think it's hard to have a diagnosis label for a lot of us, because that mean for a lot of people a death sentence. It doesn't. You know, it's like we can all go at any given moment crossing the street. Yeah. And that's what I try to remind people of. It's don't get so caught up on the label of your disease. It's you're going through something because God has a purpose for that something, right? And so I trust him so deeply. And a lot of people say, oh, you need to believe to receive. So I believe that he can heal me. But what if it's not his plans? Who am I to be like, oh, God, I'm believing. You're not doing your part. Do you know what I mean? It's just, so I just try to remind myself, there's a purpose for this. And I'm just here going through the motions. And honestly, it makes me live my life even fuller than I would have. You know, I want to do all things. I want to travel places. I want to be with my family. It really has made me prioritize my life in a different way now that I would give everything to my work because it's my baby. But it's like my family is so much more important. At the end of the day, this is all going to be gone, but they will stay there. They're the ones that are going to be by me during cancer treatment or during my bad days or whatnot. And so, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because I think it's important for us to trust him.
Well, and how joyful you are and that you're not walking around in cement shoes.
I mean, I can't. I do have the joy is one of my gifts of the Holy Spirit. I feel like it's yours too, because even though you have to remind yourself sometimes, my husband says that too. When I got the other diagnosis and I was just like, you know, it's God's plan. He's like, I've never met anybody more joyful than you. I'm like, have you met Heather, our producer? She is joyful. I just love. I surround myself with joyful people too. I just love that.
We walk through life and we see people and it's like, you don't have the joy of the Lord because in good times and in bad times. I mean, if you don't have that, it just makes me sad. We all meet people on a daily basis and you're just like, oh,
I know.
Joy we're of the meant Lord. To in be. Any situation. Yes. It's so important.
It really is.
Jesus, others, and then yourself. And you, once I continue to focus on that, you know, it just kind of revs up my joy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry what you're going through.
It's okay. It's going to be good. It's going to be what he wants it to be. I'm just trying to be healthy, you know, and not be irresponsible with things. But I'm doing my part. You know, I like Pastor Dave says, you need to do the natural so God can do the supernatural. And I try to every day remind myself, you know, God, remind me to do the natural here so you can do the supernatural. And he will do if he wants to. And if he doesn't, he won't. And I'm good with either way. I just want to, you know, I feel like one of my missions in here might be to just spread that joy, you know, and just tell people, hey, it's okay when you have him. We really don't need anything else.
I love that. Well, you're doing it. I mean, this podcast and everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a good reminder for all of us. We all need to live our life like
we do every day to the fullest because.
And don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
It's all small stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this diagnosis also brings that up too. It's like you really don't sweat the small stuff
because
it's just like. Anyway, I think this is a good place for us to wrap this up. So, Janae, is there any organizations or any other ministries that you support that you'd like for us to know about or that we maybe can support and serve in some ways?
Well, of course, the Komen Foundation, they have a More Than Pink Walk every year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their money goes to those services for women who can't afford a mammogram. And so it's a great organization. You can find them online, komen.org. And it's amazing what they do for the state of Indiana and actually nationwide. But the one in Indiana is fabulous. So it'd be a great way if somebody would like to make a donation or if they need resources to go to komen.org.
Okay. And also to spread the word, if you know anybody who's going through cancer, maybe you can refer that to them. Would you like to close us in prayer?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity for fellowship and sharing our stories. And Lord, I just pray that you lift up Karina with her health battle. Be with her, keep her joyful. And Lord, I just pray anybody who's watching out there that if they don't feel joy, that they reach out to somebody or go find a church or to pray. The Lord wants you. You are their children, Lord. And I just lift up all of those who are going through breast cancer right now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Just heal them. Give them people to surround themselves with, Lord. Give them real joy givers, not joy suckers. Lord, just thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Help us populate heaven, Lord. So when we get up there, we see friends and family and people we've worked with or people on the street. Just thank you for having us be your mouthpiece, Lord, and continue to give us strength and your words. So your words are our words, Lord. They're not ours. Mm-hmm. And just thank you for the many blessings that you give upon us on a daily basis. Thank you for those sacred moments that you drop in on a daily basis. I pray that we just be still and we can see those sacred moments where you drop down and you just reach us. Lord, just thank you for being our Heavenly Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.